What you believe matters. What you believe about God and His gospel matters tremendously. Welcome today to this program that is going to unmask counterfeit gospels and reveal the truth about the one true holy gospel of God. Firstly, two stories. The first story is about a young man by the name of Anthony. Well, actually, that's not his name. But I knew Anthony when I lived in Sydney, Australia. One night, Beverly and I were sound asleep. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. There came a pounding on the window, on our window. Then the pounding on our door. So I got up a little bit groggy. And I invited Anthony to come into our house. He was in a terrible mess. He was trembling. He was shaking. His face was distorted. He said to me, "Pastor Carter," because he came to my church. I was his pastor. He said to me, "I can't sleep. I'm up all night. I'm up every night. I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm begging God to make me so holy that He will accept me." He said, "I can't sleep." I said, "Who's been teaching you?" He said, "I've had people come to my home and they've been giving me books and literature." And he said, "I've just got to get right with God." So Beverly and I spent the best part of 2 hours talking to Anthony. Of course, as I said, that's not his name. But he still left in a state of great despair. He said, "I can't believe what you're teaching. You are teaching a false gospel." The next year, we were in America. I received the dreadful news. Anthony had taken his own life, the victim of a counterfeit gospel. So, my friend, never say to me, "It doesn't matter what you believe." My second story comes from the Dallas Brooks Theatre in the great city of Melbourne. One night when I was preaching to a tremendous crowd of people, there came a group of people who were all dressed in black. And some of them even wore hoods. A shadow went through the audience as these people came in and sat down the front of the Dallas Brooks Theatre in Melbourne. They were the leading spiritists of the city of Melbourne, and they had come to hear what I had to say about spiritism. But that night, the Spirit of God came upon me, and I poured out my heart. I preached the truth about the state of the dead, but most importantly, I preach the truth about Jesus and the gospel. And I told them how Christ had died for our sins. I described His sufferings for us on the cross as He bore our sins. And I spoke about the resurrection. And I made an appeal. I made an altar call. And they all came down the front with hundreds of other people. And some weeks or months later, I had the privilege of baptizing those people into Jesus Christ and into the truths of the Bible and into the truth of the true holy gospel. I want you to know, my friend, that they remained firm and strong in Christ. They were saved by the grace of God. I want you to know this. Don't forget it. You'll never hear anything more important than this. What you believe matters. What you believe about God and the true gospel matters a great deal.
There is more than one gospel being taught today, but there is only one true gospel. Our age is the age of counterfeits. We talk about fake news. There are also fake gospels The church today is being torn apart by gospels that promise riches while actually robbing people of eternal life. Prepare to be surprised. Prepare to discover the greatest treasure. Welcome to the Carter Report. Pastor and teacher John Carter presents an uncompromising message, hot from the heart of God. Today, John talks about the true gospel, plus the counterfeits.
And thank you, my friend, Dave Dino. It's a privilege for us to know you, Dave, and to have you on our television program. The year was 1991, so long ago now. Beverly and I and a tiny little team of volunteers were in the city of Moscow for the first ever evangelistic campaign by a foreigner in the old Soviet Union. It was still the old Soviet Union. Glory be to God. What I'm going to tell you now is glory be to God. By the grace of God, I was preaching the gospel. I preached every day, every night, for 10 days without a break. The meetings would start at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they would finish at 10:30 at night. And I had simply breaks for water and for food because the people were starving spiritually. I'd never seen anything like this. And one night as I was preaching on the true gospel of Christ and telling those people who had been brainwashed by communism, brainwashed by atheism, infidelity, that there was a God who made them, that they came from the hand of God, and God loved them so much that he gave his only son to die for them. And I told them the story of the atoning sacrifice of Christ. And as I was preaching and talking about John chapter 3:16 and the true gospel of Christ, I suddenly became aware that I was the only one talking. My translator was silent. And as I turned to him, I saw that he was weeping. The tears were running down his cheeks. And then I looked out upon this audience in the Palace of Culture, just down the road from the Kremlin. And I saw and I heard something that I shall never forget. An audience dissolved into tears and weeping, because I told them, God made you. God loved you so much that he gave his son to die for you. And then as the Spirit of God moved upon that audience, I invited those who wanted to come to Christ and accept his death and become new people in Christ, come forward. They came forward. A Soviet captain marched his soldiers down the aisle, and they came up and they stood behind me. And all the people, those who could, crowded down the front. My friend, there is power in the gospel of Christ, but make sure you get the right gospel. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember this, the gospel, in spite of a million sermons to the contrary, is not good advice. It's not what you ought to do. It's what God has done for you. The gospel is the good news of Christ, the good news of God. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where the greatest of the apostles, I think he was. People say Peter was. Well, you could debate that all day, but Paul was certainly a great man of God. When he came to Corinth, he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That ought to be the theme of every service. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the chapter on the resurrection of the dead, he said, I have passed on to you that which is of first importance, the most important thing, he says, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day and was seen by a vast number of people. Then I think of Isaiah chapter 53. When I was a boy, I went to Avenel College when I was 16. I can remember working in the factory at nighttime to help to pay my fees. I'd just come to know Christ. I'd just given my life to Christ. And I had my Bible and I turned to Isaiah chapter 53. I urge you to read it over and over again. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was put to death for our sins. By his stripes we are healed. And Isaiah says of Christ, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ dying for our sins. God in human flesh. Christ, our substitute. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It means good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is of the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. I don't care who you are. If you truly believe in Christ and trust in Christ and come to Christ and confess Christ and repent of your sins, you will be a new person and God will accept you as his child and he will declare that you are no longer guilty. He will declare that you are righteous in him. This is the gift of God. This brings the peace of God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And get this very plainly in your minds today, my friends. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. People say to me, do you believe this idea of the Trinity? Yes, I do. Why do you believe it? Because the Bible teaches it. Try reading John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God became a human being, lived a sinless life, and died for our sins on the cross. Believe this. Put aside your unbelief, and you will see the glory of God.
Pastor Carter, are we all infected with sin? Is there hope for even the worst of sinners?
Some years ago, I was attending a convention in one of the great cities of the United States of America. And the Carter Report had its own booth. We wanted to meet the people who were supporting us in the preaching of the gospel in some of the most difficult, most dangerous places in the world. And a lady came to see me. She had watched my television program, our television program on 3ABN. God bless 3ABN. If it had not been for the support of my friend Danny Shelton, the work that was done in Russia could never have been done because Danny appealed to his supporters to come to the aid of this preacher. And they came to the aid of this preacher and they supplied the money for the preaching of the gospel. We were asked to go to Russia, but nobody said, we're going to give you any money. But Danny came to our aid. But let me tell you, I was at this convention. We had our booth. A lady came to talk to me. She said, you're John Carter, aren't you? I said, yes, what's left of him? She said, you're Pastor John. Yes. She said, I've come to you to apologize. I said, well, I can't see why you need to apologize to me. She said, I've come to tell you I'm sorry for what I've done and for what my husband has been doing. You see, this man was putting out a magazine that attacked everybody that he didn't like and everybody who didn't think his ideas. Engaged in terrible, terrible slander. He attacked people left, right, and center. And she said, I was a part of this. But she said, I knew that what we were doing was wrong, but we did it because we wanted to get an audience. It's not hard, my friends, in this world to get an audience, because the world is filled with people who are not led by the Spirit of God. So she said, we put out all this stuff. But she said, I want to tell you about my husband. When he was being carried as a little baby in his mother's womb, she decided that she didn't want him. And she went and tried to have an abortion. But the baby survived. And grew up in this home where his mother didn't want him. And he grew up filled with hate. He hated God, he hated every person, and therefore he's got out this magazine and it spews out hate. She said, what can I do? She said, I've been forced to leave him. I can't stand it anymore. Well, I said, I want you to do something. I want you to go and tell him this, that God loves him. Let him know his mother, even though his mother didn't love him, God loves him. And if he'd been the only sinner in the world, Christ would have died for him. She started to weep. I said, go and tell him that God loves him. There's a place for him in the kingdom of God. And that Jesus died to save him. And this is my message to you, every one of you today. God loves you. And he can heal the pain and the hurt and the hate. The gospel is the good news of God, not the good news about you. It's the good news about God, that he loves you.
Before we can appreciate the good news, we need to understand the bad news. What does the Holy Bible say about the doctrine of universal depravity?
The Bible teaches the doctrine of universal depravity. King David says, I was born in sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's what he said. Was he saying that he had an illegitimate birth? Well, there's no such thing as an illegitimate birth. People may do illegitimate acts, but there's no such thing as an illegitimate baby. Understand this. But David says he was born in sin. He was a part of a sinful, guilty human race. You are a part of that race. I am a part of that race. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, the religious zealot, Jesus said, you must be born again. Jesus did not say, we've got to be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. We must be born again, my friend, because we are a race of sinners. And we need the power of God in our lives. We need to be born again. On occasions, I'm going to make a little confession to you. I don't know if I ought to, but I'm going to do so anyhow. On occasions, Beverly and I, now we don't do this every day. We've watched Judge Judy. Have you ever seen Judge Judy? Wow. When I've watched Judge Judy, I've wondered and I've marveled. She has amazing, amazing patience, but sometimes she cuts to it also, because it seems to me that almost everybody who comes on these programs doesn't tell the truth. Now, I guess I haven't seen too much of it, but it seems that everybody has got a story and everybody seems to be making up a story. One of the worst sins is the sin of lying. If you are a liar, my friend, you will not go into the kingdom of God. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning." So there are many liars in the world. In fact, the Apostle Paul, this mighty preacher of God, the preacher of the gospel, he said there is no one righteous, no, not one. You can read that in Romans chapter 3. I urge you to read the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans, because those 8 chapters reveal to us the truth of the holy gospel of God. The trouble is today, we seem to be losing our brain power. I was watching a news item today on my television set when I was having breakfast, and this man said, "We have discovered that people are becoming less intelligent because of the garbage they're getting off their cell phones and everything else." But the Bible clearly tells us the truth about the gospel, and it unmasks the counterfeit gospel. And Paul says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And if you go to Romans chapter 3, read the whole chapter through, my friend. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace. When it says justified, it means declared righteous freely by his grace. Let this sink down into the molecules of your mind and don't forget it. When God justifies a man, he does it on the basis of the righteousness of Christ, not on my righteousness, not on the basis of my good works, but on the basis of the holiness of Christ, the holiness of God. In Romans chapter 3, he says, there is none righteous, no, not one, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when it says all fall short of the glory of God, it means present tense. It is present tense. People say, well, who cares? Well, I care, because I'm interested in truth. I'm interested in honesty. I'm interested in preaching the truth to peoples so that their souls will be saved. He says, we all sin. All have sinned, past tense, and we fall short of the glory of God. It means that there are no righteous people in themselves, and that is why we need a Savior. And then if you turn over the pages to Romans chapter 5, it says, by one man sin entered the world. Who was that? Adam. By one man sin entered the world, and thus death through sin. And so death passed to all men because all have sinned. When Adam sinned, he unleashed a flood of lawlessness and iniquity upon the world. And so Jesus says, you must be born again. And that's why we need a Savior. People say, well, I'm not so sure that I need a Savior. I am a pretty good person. The Bible tells me, it tells you, that you are a part, we are a part of a guilty, fallen, sinful human race. But the good news of the gospel is this, that God so loved the world, this world steeped and in evil and iniquity. He loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The good news, my friend, the gospel is not about you and it's not about me. The gospel is the good news about God, that God has sent his Son to save us. Hello, friend. I'm John Carter. I have a gift for you. My little booklet, easy to read, but filled full with great truths. It's called The Big Issues of the Gospel. I've discovered there's tremendous confusion today about the gospel. You've got all sorts of heresies floating around. Some people are saying that the commandments of God are abolished, nailed to the cross. Other people are teaching the doctrine of sinless perfectionism in this lifetime. They say, unless you become absolutely sinless, you're not going to be saved. And so, some time back, I sat down and I wrote this little booklet, a compilation of three sermons that I had preached to deal with this tremendous subject of perfectionism, antinomianism, and the truth about the true gospel. Ask for it. The Big Issues of the Gospel. Write to me, America, Post Office Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. That's Post Office Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. In Australia, write to me at Terrigal. Now the address is up on the screen. Just write to me. This is a limited time offer. So if you want it, you need to get it now. It's called The Big Issues of the Gospel. It contains the dynamite of God. Get your free copy today.
For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.